We'll be reading from Matthew 1 and Luke 1. If you'll mark your place in Luke, if you wish, we'll read first in Matthew. And I'll refer to several other verses. I printed them out to save time, so I won't ask you to turn to them, but if you want to make note of them or whatever, they're pretty familiar, such as Isaiah 7:14. But to save time, we won't turn as a group to all of them. Can you hear me all right? Am I loud enough? Okay. One thing about teaching, you have to have a big mouth sometimes. But you know, listening to the news this week, I don't know if you bothered or not, a lot of it's depressing. It reminded me of 2 Chronicles 36:15. The Lord God, the Father, sent unto them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending. Excuse me. Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Now, I'm not smart enough to say that we'd come to that in America, but we are certainly headed that way. Amen. So we need to pray for our nation. The virgin birth of Christ, all right? This is probably one of the most hated doctrines in the Bible, maybe second to creation. Once they, you know, take those out, we don't have much left. It all falls apart. As I said, Isaiah 7:14 says the Lord's going to give a sign. And if it was just a normal birth, there wouldn't be any sign to it. There wouldn't be anything unusual to catch our attention. But, you know, unbelievers say it's contrary to modern science. But, you know, you can really get in trouble if you depend on modern science. They say we don't understand it. Well, they don't even understand a normal birth, how a microscopic sperm can meet up with an egg, which is almost microscopic, so little. The sperm, it would take 500 of them in a row to make an inch. As I say, it's microscopic. And yet, a human being, and this is millions of times this has happened, they don't understand it. You know, I don't know how I got onto this, but President Garfield was shot in the back in 1881. Modern science killed him. The doctors used unsanitary or unsterilized hands and instruments. It was awful. I mean, let's face it, he suffered. And they couldn't even find the bullet. And Alexander Graham Bell invented a device to detect metal, but the president was in a metal bed, so it messed up the instrument, and the doctors wouldn't allow him to be moved to a bed without metal. So he suffered. And they dug and dug and dug and never found the bullet. It was behind his spleen near the liver. And amazingly or not, he couldn't eat. Couldn't digest food very well. And they tried to feed him by enema. Think of that. Now, that was modern science in 1881. It took him 80 days to die. No doubt he would be alive today, if that happened today. That's modern science for you. Modern science and liberal religion within the inspired Bible is rejected. It's just the words of man. Creation is rejected for evolution. Miracles are rejected for natural explanations. The new birth is rejected for good works. And the virgin birth is rejected in the name of science and liberal religion. You know, just recently, there was a billboard, and I think it was in North Carolina. An atheist wrote a note to Santa. Dear Santa, did anybody see that? All I want for Christmas is to skip church. I'm too old for fairy tales. Okay, number one, he wrote a note to Santa. That's kind of a fairy tale. Number two, he believes in evolution, right? Do any atheists not believe in evolution? I mean, or some substitute, I guess. I don't know. They certainly can't believe in creation and still be atheists. That would be really strange. But you know, Mary, the Virgin, is given by religion a lot of special recognition. They say Hail Mary and all this stuff. She had Immaculate Conception. That means she was sinless. Perpetual virginity, that means she was always a virgin, even though the Bible spoke of Mary and Christ's brethren. They say she assumed a heaven, body, and soul, something like Enoch and Elijah. And one of the worst verses I found, and I hadn't heard this before, they say she's an advocate. And I'll quote it, Mary is an advocate with power to save all. She is omnipotent. You can find that at the website, catholictradition.org. And one of the most surprising of those things is that they now know what her birthday is, September 8th. I don't know where they found that in the Bible, but it's not there. And then some other unbelievers say that Christ was an illegitimate son, you know. In John 8, they said, we be not born of fornication. They were implying that he was. And Nels Ferre was a famous man that he became famous for one thing because he believed this. But, you know, I heard that he changed his mind in 1971. Yeah, 1971. That's the year he died. And once he died, he knew the truth, all right? Okay, now look at Matthew chapter 1. And I told one brother here this morning, I said, if my teaching is bad, at least I can read some good Bible verses, and maybe that'll make up for it, all right? Now, Matthew chapter 1, as I said, I want to refer to a little bit to other verses without turning to them. Genesis 3:15 speaks of her seed, okay? And what I want to do is go through these scriptures and number points that support the virgin birth. Some of the points are stronger than others, I'll admit. But if I miss any, we'll have a discussion at the end of the scripture. And so hold on to the questions or additions. If you know of one, a verse that I don't refer to or whatever, please hold on to it and we'll have it in the discussion time. All right? Her seed, that would be number one in the list of support for the virgin birth. And then in Isaiah 7:14, the Lord shall give you a number two sign. Behold, a number three virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and so on. All right? Now, Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. Made of a woman, all right? Supporting the virgin birth there in that sense. All right, now turn to Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then in verses 2 through 16, it starts with Abraham begat, about 40 times or so. It says every father begat the son that was born. But in verse 16, it says Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom, number 5, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. It did not say Joseph begat. It said Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. All right? Now, verse 18. Now, we'll skip a few verses because I'm trying to focus on what supports the virgin birth. All right? Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Now, there are three verses in these passages that are my favorites, and this is the first one. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In so many words, and hope I'm not being irreverent here, but in so many words, God is saying, shut up, dummy, and listen. This is the way it happened. Don't miss it. Don't change it. Don't revise it. Don't deny it. Don't doubt it. This is the way Christ was born. All right? Let's see now. What verse? Oh, yeah, 18. All right? When as his mother Mary was espoused, we think of that as engaged, but it was stronger than that because they were called husband and wife, Joseph and Mary. All right? So it was a strong and a legal commitment. Okay? Verse 6, number 6, before they came together, she was found with child, number 7, of the Holy Ghost. All right? More support. You know, only 4 times does the word virgin use in reference to the birth of Christ. But there are many other supporting points here as we're going through them right now, all right? Before they came together, of the Holy Ghost, number 6 and 7. All right, now, verse 18. Now, God testifies that Joseph was a just man in this verse. He was a just man. That means not perfect, but he was a good man. He was honest, right? He had some integrity. He was a just man. He was willing to put her away privately. Now, if he was lying, God would not have said he was an honest man, right? That makes sense. Now, why was he willing to put her away privately if he's a just man? Because he was honest. He knew the child was not his, all right? So that's number 8. He knew the child was not his because, and God testifies, and we believe the Bible, so that's evidence for me, that because he knew the child was not his. All right, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Notice, and we already read a verse that said he was the husband in Matthew 1:16. All right? So they were called husband and wife. Wife 3 times and husband is used twice about during these days. All right? Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. 4, number 9, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That's evidence to me and support for the virgin birth, to put it mildly. All right, verse 22. Now all this was done that might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. Now this is referring to Isaiah 7:14, which we've already noted. God, the Lord will give you a sign. All right, verse 23. Behold, number 10, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, number 11, God with us. In other words, this child is God. That's support to me that this is a special birth, and as God points out, it's a virgin birth. And notice, the virgin shall be with child. The Bible doesn't use the word pregnant. It says with child. And Elizabeth, when she spoke of her time of expecting John the Baptist, she called him what? Babe. He was a baby. He was still in her womb, but he was a babe, all right? The babe leaped, she said, with joy when she met Mary and heard her voice, all right? A virgin shall be with child. Just this week, a professor at Michigan University said, I hate Republicans. Some of you heard that, right? How many heard about that? Nobody? Anyway, one of the reasons she hated Republicans is they, quote, champion fetal personhood. Fetal personhood. In other words, there's a baby in that mother. There's a person. No, she can't take that because they want millions of abortions. All right? Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. You know, some people sort of put Joseph down, but I have great respect for him. You think about what he went through, you know. He was willing to obey God and take care of Mary and Jesus all this time. And I admire him. I know there's not much in the Bible after Jesus' birth about Joseph, but God has a reason for that, okay? All right, he did it. He did what he was told. Verse 25. And, number 12, knew her not. Till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Knew her. Now we know by the context what they mean there. Knew, and a baby resulted. Adam knew his wife, and she bare Cain. All right. We don't use that expression now, but the Bible does, and we know by context that it's talking about the marriage relation, and a baby is a result. But you know there are at least 2. Expressions we use today which relate to know and knew. That is intimate. You know, you really know someone when you're intimate with them. You have an intimate friendship. It might not mean the marriage relation, but it does include that with man and wife. They are intimate, and then a baby is a result, often. And then another one is carnal knowledge. That even uses the word knowledge, know, knew, so forth, okay? So it's not that odd, it's just that we are not used to that in everyday language. Okay, number 12, he knew her not. That's the testimony of God. All right, Matthew 2 and 13. Chapter 2 and verse 13, all right? This is the angel telling Joseph to flee. Just these few words, arise and take the young child, that's number 13, and his mother. You know, when God talked to Abraham about Isaac, he said, thy son, thine only son. But here he's saying to Joseph, take the young child and his mother. And five times in this chapter, we read the word young child and mother, referring to Jesus and Mary. But never does it say that Joseph is the father. All right? Now turn to Luke, please. Luke chapter 1. Again, we're going right through this list, and so far we've had 12 of these, 13. 13 was the young child and his mother. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city, unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And as I said earlier, the word virgin is used four times. Isaiah 7:14, Matthew 1:23, and then in Luke 1:27, four times in reference to Jesus' birth, all right? Verse 27, 2a, number 14, virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And I like the way this is so specific. Notice, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the, number 15, the virgin's name was Mary, all right? Is there any doubt about what we're talking about here? And the virgin's name is Mary. Thank God for that. All right, now verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Now remember, the angel is talking to Mary. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Jesus was not only virgin born, but he was born of the seed of David to sit on David's throne forever. So both of those work hand in hand. That is virgin birth and the seed of David prophecy for the throne of David. You know, Judah, the leader of the tribe of Judah, all right, the father, that was the line through which kings were to come. In Genesis 49, Jacob, the father of the 12 sons, said that Judah was a lion's whelp. In other words, a young lion. In Revelation 5:5, it says that Jesus was the lion of the tribe of Judah, fulfilling that prophecy. And then Jacob goes on to say, the scepter, the symbol of being king, shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh come. Now, Shiloh was a town in Bible times, connected with Eli, the priest, and Hannah, and Samuel. They all went to Shiloh and served in Shiloh and so on. And Shiloh is also a Civil War battle, Shiloh in Tennessee. And the battle was named for a church that was nearby, Shiloh Church. A town was established named Shiloh, Tennessee. There are five other towns in America, at least five, that are named Shiloh. One in North Carolina, 350 miles east of here, near Elizabeth City. I've never been there, but sounds interesting anyway. There's a movie named Shiloh. There are several churches now named Shiloh Baptist or whatever. This is Shiloh, excuse me, in Genesis. Until Shiloh come is not a town, because it goes on to say, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In other words, this is a person, and I believe it refers to Christ, the Messiah. Okay? Now, Saul was the first king in Israel, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin. People demanded a king, so God allowed it. Then in Acts 13, it says God removed him to make room for, put it in my own words, removed Saul and made room for David, who was anointed by Samuel. Now, David was the first person in Judah who could be king. Because in, this is what I believe anyway. Now, you may differ, and that's all right. In Deuteronomy 23, it says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord until his 10th generation. Okay, if you count from Judah to David, guess how many? 10. David was the first. If you apply Deuteronomy 23:2 to this, now it says the congregation of the Lord, he can't enter the congregation. Well, certainly he couldn't be king. If he couldn't even be in the congregation. But anyway, David was the first. As I say, if you accept this this interpretation, all right? No, I'm sorry.
That reference there is to Judah's relationship with Tamar, who was supposed to be...
Right. I was getting to that. Okay. All right. Yeah, Judah and Tamar had an illegitimate son, Phales or something like that. I don't remember how to pronounce that. But anyway... So that meant they had to count 10 generations before a man could be king, and David was the first. And another interesting thing about it, between Solomon, David's son, and Joseph, there was a man named Jeconiah, or Jeconias, it's spelled several ways. He's found in Matthew 1:11 in the line of Christ. And in Jeremiah 22, verse 30, there's a curse on him. It says, thus saith the Lord, write this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. So nobody from Jeconiah on could be king in that line. That's the line that led to Joseph. So that's another evidence that Joseph could not be the father. Now, the line of Christ went from Adam to David, for both Joseph and Mary, all right? Then when it got to David, David married Bathsheba. They had several children, two of which were Solomon and Nathan. Solomon's line led to Joseph, and Nathan's led to Mary, okay? More evidence, I think, generally at least, for the virgin birth. Mary was from David through Nathan, and not Solomon and Jeconiah, all right? And then, of course, in Isaiah 9:6, unto us a son is given, a child is given, a son is born. He'll sit on the throne of David henceforth, even forever. All right? The seed of David and the virgin birth go hand in hand, all right, in prophecy, both for foretold and fulfilled. And, of course, the throne of David part is yet to be fully completed, all right? Okay, back to Luke, verse 33 said, your son will reign forever. Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall king, and this is number 16 in our list, I know not a man. Now again, remember, Adam knew his wife. Hear this expression again, I know not a man. Now, I don't know how big that town was she lived in, but she knew some men, right? By acquaintance. She may have known 20 or 100 or 500, I don't know. But she said, I know not a man. In other words, she's saying, I'm a virgin. That's her testimony. All right? That's number 16. All right, verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, number 17, this is my second favorite verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, and then this one. This is the angel answering her. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered unto her, number 17, Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? All right. Doesn't say anything about a father, a human father. Doesn't say anything about Joseph. The Holy Ghost shall do it. All right. And it's a holy thing that shall be born of thee. All right. Verse 38 is my third favorite verse. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. She's ready to obey, right? Isn't that great? I think it is. And that reminds me, when I was growing up, our church always had a Christmas play about the birth of Christ. They didn't vary. Well, they had different forms of the play, but it was the same thing every year, every year. The director, before he got right with the Lord, worked for Disney. As a matter of fact, he sang the Jiminy Cricket song, "When You Wish Upon a Star." He was one of those in the early days anyway. Anyway, so it was first class. Our church was an old city auditorium, so we had a stage and lighting and sound system and floodlights and all the works. I mean, it was great. I mean, and when Gabriel spoke, I thought it was an angel talking. I mean, I'm half kidding here, but it was really good. And Mary, the lady that played Mary, she had the sweetest voice. It carried through the audience, but she just was the perfect Mary. I didn't believe she was actually Mary, but I thought Mary was like her. You know, I mean, she's really good. But notice, this verse reminds me of her. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word." All right, Luke 2 and verse 4. Skipping ahead to another one. Luke 2, 4. "And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Again, we see that expression, with child, not just a fetus, not a bunch of blob, you know, that's in the way of life, that we have to get rid of this thing. "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished," verse 6, "that she should be delivered," verse 7, "and she brought forth her," number 18, "firstborn son," okay? Not her only son. Remember, I mentioned perpetual virginity. They believe that she was a virgin all her life, but not so. Her firstborn son, number 18. And then verse 48, skip down to verse 48, another one that you might not have thought about being any support for the virgin birth, but notice, verse 48, they were separated, you know the story, of course. Joseph and Mary headed back home and didn't realize Jesus was not in the company. And then look at verse 48 in mid-verse. "Son, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Verse 49, "And he," Jesus, "said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about," number 19, "my father's business." Okay, was he in a carpenter shop? No, he was in the house of God, the temple. "My father." So he's making a distinction on his own, so to speak, that God was his father, not Joseph, the human husband of Mary. All right? That's 19. All right? "He knew her not. God sent a sign. A virgin shall conceive." We believe that. Amen? Amen? All right? Any additions, questions, discussion? I don't know what time it is. I can't see that clock from here. 10 minutes? 15 minutes?
About 10 minutes.
Anybody have an additional point that I didn't think about? Was it a perfect lesson? I covered all the verses. I was thinking there might be some other verses like Galatians 4:4, you know, other verses in other books and so on that might support it that I didn't think about. I don't claim to have a perfectly complete. I'm sorry?
Probably go back to Genesis where God curses the serpent and he says, "I will place enmity between
right.
thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed."
Right, right.
Suggesting there in the kernel before the first mention of the virgin birth.
Right, right, right.
Say,
I did mention that, didn't I? Her seed.
Huh?
I did mention her seed, didn't I, when I started?
I
thought I did. Okay, great. Now, how important is a virgin birth to our faith? Anybody want to comment on that? Nobody? I mean, if we believe the Bible is the Word of God, we have to believe it, right?
Right.
You have a comment, brother? Looks like you're fixing to say something.
Oh, I was fixing my glasses, but I was thinking of this. I used that verse, Genesis 3:15, also to speak of the seed of the serpent that both called both her doing Satan's bidding, generation of vipers.
Uh-huh. Right.
So there was a purpose in that. So I just thought of that one, but I wasn't raising my hand.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I thank you for letting me say that.
That's all right. Okay, another thing. Yes, sir, Dale?
You mentioned some attributing advocacy to Mary, and there are several of us that have come out of Catholicism.
Uh-huh.
Part of the Hail Mary prayer is, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Right.
Amen. So, you know, they,
right.
That's a strong...
I don't know how old that quote is about advocate, that she's omnipotent and all. Is that an old one, or... Anybody know? It was new to me. I'm sorry?
It's part of the Catholic tradition.
Right, right.
I don't know where it comes from.
Okay.
You did mention you want to know the importance of the virgin birth. A lot of people say that the seed of sin is carried through the man's seed.
Right.
And so that would be important that man's seed not be involved in Christ, since Christ, we know, was sinless.
Right, right. Now, I was thinking about asking that, something related to what you just said, is that I think you were saying that the sinful nature comes through the Father. Are you saying that? Okay.
Correct.
You didn't exactly say that, but I thought you were getting to it. But does anybody have a comment on that? Some believe it, some don't.
Bible says that for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin.
Right. I think that may be the main verse for that belief, so to speak. I heard a preacher say one time, and I didn't get his name. He said, "I know hundreds of people that don't. No, I know hundreds of Christians that don't believe in virgin birth." Now, can a man be saved and not believe it? I think so, because he's ignorant. But once he believes. Once he's saved, he should believe it, right? Should be believable to him.
Am I wrong? I think he could be saved and not know it.
That's what I meant.
I don't think he could be saved and deny it.
Right. That's good. I didn't say that part.
That would be a different ballgame there. If you don't believe that sin pass through the seed of Adam, then how do we get our sin nature?
Right.
The obvious conclusion would be that it passes through the woman,
right,
which would be an attack on the virgin birth, or that we get the sin some other way.
Right.
So to me, that's a pretty critical
or
thing, I think, too.
Denied.
Original sin,
right,
could be denied.
Yeah.
You're right. You're
so
right.
Not the hereditary issue, but
right.
I think it's clear in the Bible that sin is hereditary.
Yes.
By nature.
Mary appeared four times after Jesus' ministry began. Anybody think of one?
Wedding at Cana.
Right.
At the cross.
Changing the water to wine.
At the cross.
At the cross. Two more.
When the mother and the brethren were out.
Right. Okay, they were waiting to see him and his brother. Another time, his brother is mentioned, but, and then one more. Acts chapter 1. What?
Is that when Jesus appointed John to take care of Mary? Is that what you're talking about?
No, that would be at the foot of the cross. Yeah. It would be in the upper room, wouldn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Mary and his brother were in the upper room in Acts 1. How many announced births are there in the Bible? Jesus' birth was announced. You know any others that were announced?
Samuel.
Right.
Samson.
Right.
John the Baptist.
Right. One more that I know of. Isaac. Okay. Thrones. How many thrones are mentioned in the Bible? Throne of David, throne of Cumbola to the throne of
grace,
the throne of heaven, the throne of judgment, the great white throne, the throne of Israel. I think I missed some, but that's something that I thought about. Oh, in Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin. I looked that up. Believe it or not, it's online. It means around yonder virgin. They just shorten around and yonder. So all is bright. We stop with all is bright, but we shouldn't. It's all is bright around yonder virgin, mother and child. I don't know why I put that in, but yeah. Okay, God has made human beings four ways. This is really easy if you stop and think about it.
He's made human beings four ways?
Right.
Creation.
Right. Adam?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Second birth.
How about Eve?
Yeah.
Made from man. Had no father and mother, either one of them. And then the normal birth, millions and millions and millions. And then the virgin birth. See? And there's only one each of Adam, Mary, and the virgin birth. And all the others are in the millions and millions. Any comments? I don't know if our time is, it's close, a couple minutes maybe. How is the virgin birth unique? Of course, there's only one, but beyond that, it was virgin. I'm sorry, I don't know where that voice came from. What was it? Yeah, foretold. How about sinless? Holy. Remember that holy thing which should be born of you. And did anybody say pre-existent? Okay, it was pre-existent. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Anybody doubt the virgin birth? Speak now or forever lie about it. Oh, my.
Amen.
It's amazing how people just go out of the way to doubt something that's so great. Brother Norm, you want to say something? You just look like you're want to. No?
I'm excited as you talked about the virgin birth this morning. That's good.
Yeah.
We need to hear it. Like,
amen. Amen. Yeah, I was looking in my notes and my old notes on this date in 1967. Boy, I'm old. But I learned more this time than I did the first time.
Amen.
Yeah, have internet, you know. It's amazing, you know. I wonder what people do that do those websites, you know. I clicked on something the other day. What was it? Hummingbird or something. I believe it was Hummingbird. Anyway, there were 500,000 websites about hummingbirds. You know, I mean, what do these people do? Is that all they do is just set up these free websites? But, you know, it has its advantages, you know. Any comment? More comments? All right. Brother Norm, would you close class in prayer, please, sir?